The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to celebrate the number 28, 28, 28. Bob, what is 28? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I didn't know this was Sesame Street. But anyway, 28 refers to the 28th time SpaceX has launched a first stage. It's a record. Over the weekend, SpaceX had, on two different days, completed two different launches. That's four launches, put up, more than 100 Starlink satellites over those four launches. And every single one of those launches reused the first stage. But the one of those launches reused the first stage for the 28th time. That is a record the most that any first stage has done. They keep setting these records, though, and they're going to keep setting them. This particular record ties Columbia, the Space Shuttle Columbia, for the number of reuses. What's interesting is it took Columbia 22 years to complete those 28 flights, with the last of which being its destruction when it failed coming back to Earth. This particular booster, though, didn't take 22 years. It took less than 4 years to do the same number of flights. And it's still viable. It's going to be reused again. And there's a really solid chance that, along with several other Falcon 9 first stages, they're going to beat out the records of the shuttles Discover and Atlantis, which flew respectively 39 and 33 times. Those records by the shuttles are going to be blown away given a few more years. And SpaceX, once again, makes this operate almost like an airline. They function that smoothly, John.
Bob, a puzzle. How can you take this news to your boss and say, why aren't we doing this? If you're any self-respecting booster builder around the world, national or private, how would you avoid saying, we've got to do this?
Well, it's all a question of culture, John. The places where they avoided doing this for stupid reasons, their business model is failing. ULA didn't grab it immediately with his Vulcan rocket, and they've got contracts, but they're not getting the business. Ariane 6 from Europe is an utter failure. Europe, however, has finally gotten its act together, and rather than ask a company that has a culture that was hostile to this and stupidly hostile, they've just simply decided to go to private enterprise. They're asking new startups to come along, and every one of those new startups is trying to develop new rockets. They've got to get the rocket off the ground first before they can deal with landing the first stage. But nonetheless, they're switching, and every new company is trying to do this. No one is really getting very far at the moment. The closest ones are in China. They are actually flying tests, stolen mostly from us, but they're flying tests and hope in the next year to be doing what SpaceX is doing. And Blue Origin has its new Glenn, which is designed to land the first stage. We'll see if that happens. Rocket Lab hopes in this year to fly its Neutron, which will land the first stage. The companies that don't do it are the ones that are dying.
We go to Rocket Lab. The Neutron rocket, what is it, a heavy lift like Falcon?
It's a more powerful rocket. It's not like the Electron, which only does small sets. The Neutron is designed to compete with Falcon 9 and others, and Blue and New Glenn, though it's not as big as New Glenn. But what makes Neutron interesting is that it's designed to be reused. Rocket Lab has tried very hard to get into the reuse business. It tried to reuse, to develop technology to reuse its Electron first stage, but apparently it's decided that wasn't cost productive. But in designing this new Neutron rocket, they design it from day one to be reusable, where the first stage would land on a barge. And their design is clever. Rather than make an upper stage with its own shell, the payload and the engine is all carried inside the fairing, and the fairing opens like an alligator jaws, lets the payload and engine out, and then closes. So when the rocket comes back, it's a hole. and it's got its fairing with it enclosed. And so the news here is that even though Neutron has not yet launched, they hope to launch before the end of the year, even though it hasn't launched, it's got an Air Force contract to test the use of Neutron for transporting cargo across the globe. They're going to try to do a launch sometime in 26 where it will just simply take off and land at a different place carrying cargo in its payload within the fairing. And since the fairing comes back when it lands, there's no reason why this can't be done. And so, the military has contracts with a number of different companies, including Stratolaunch for doing cargo-type stuff and Starship. But they're going to actually do a test flight here with Rocket Lab, and that's part of the company that is grabbing this idea, is getting business for it.
They launched from Vandenberg or South Florida?
Rocket Lab is this Neutron rocket is going to launch from Wallops Island on the eastern shore of Virginia. They've set up their factory and their operations all at Wallops Island. I would say that down the road, if it gets very aggressive and they start to make a lot of money with it, they'll try to expand to other launch sites. But their main launch sites for Rocket Lab is either Wallops Island in Virginia or New Zealand. And they have focused with Neutron to be in the United States because they want the U.S. business from the military.
And that reads like a first-rate company. Bob has covered this very carefully from the beginning. And they, whatever they're doing, you can imitate it and be successful. Poland! What? A suborbital launch? This is, I've missed this, Bob. When did this happen?
I've reported on this before. There are several institutions or entities, private and public, within Poland that have been developing suborbital technology. They've actually have contracts to do a suborbital launches in one of the Scandinavian new spaceports. But in this case, they completed a suborbital test flight of the first stage of a planned three-stage suborbital rocket. This is not orbital. But what they did, this is it's a consortium of both private and public institutions in Poland that has gotten government funding to develop this. And they did a test flight in mid-April, and it was successful, as they say, out of Poland. And they went to an altitude of about 6 miles, where they then destroyed the thing after getting data. Their hope is to do this summer a second launch with the second stage attached. And they're targeting a three-stage launch before the end of this year. Now, a lot of this is reinventing the old Scout suborbital rockets that used to be launched by NASA out of Wallops Island through the 50s and 60s. We've done this before. It's solid fuel. They want to have that same technology so they can do a lot of research and testing, engineering and science-wise. And eventually it gives them the capability of maybe developing missile technology that would protect Poland from neighbors that aren't very friendly.
Right.
I think that's where a lot of this is coming from.
All right. Venera, is that in? Who's Venera? Is that private?
Venera is the Soviet era capsule lander that was supposed to go to Venus that got stuck in Earth orbit. And it finally came down over the Indian Ocean, we think, sometime this weekend. What's interesting about it, they were talking about how it was designed to survive the Venus thick, hot atmosphere. There was a pretty good chance this lander would survive landing, coming down through the Earth atmosphere. So there was a chance it was coming down uncontrolled, it could hit something. Of course, it was a small chance if it landed in the Indian Ocean. A Russian space historian and expert on their industry, he believes there is a small chance it actually could be floating on the surface in the Indian Ocean, and it did land in an area where there's a lot of shipping lanes. And he says ships should keep a lookout because it is possible this thing is there floating on the surface and can be recovered. Not a big chance. It's most likely broke up coming in or it sunk. But that's the story, John.
I don't recall. Where did it fail? Into orbit?
During launch. It had a failure during launch in the rocket so that it got stuck in Earth orbit. Never got out into planetary space. So it was stuck in Earth orbit for more than 50 years, going around and around.
Did they bring it down, or did it come down on natural decay?
No, it was totally uncontrolled. The orbit slowly decayed. There was no way to control it. It was a dead spacecraft, and it came down uncontrolled.
Oh, I remember now. Dead spacecraft. That triggers it. That was a couple of weeks ago you first reported it.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of these, Bob?
There are a lot of objects in orbit that every second, every upper stage of every rocket gets into orbit. And up until recently, there was not a lot of effort to control their return. SpaceX, as a policy, reserves a little bit of fuel so that after the first upper stage releases its payload, the rocket then fires its engines to do a controlled reentry, burn up over the ocean. And most companies, most rockets now do that. But there's a lot of stuff up there like this, yes.
We move on to China. Tiangong 3, what is that?
That is China's space station in orbit right now. 3 years ago, China hinted that they got it launched. It was operating. Everything was good. So they were thinking of actually doubling its size, add additional modules. 3 years later, nothing has happened. And one of the Chinese officials at a conference this week said the same thing. They're thinking of using their Long March 5B rocket, which is the most powerful rocket, to add more modules to the Tiangong 3 space station. They've now been occupying it continuously for 3 years, and they hope to occupy it for 10 straight years. So they talked about doing this, and they're still talking about doing this, but I have no idea if it's actually going to happen. It could be this official was lobbying for money to do it. It also could be that they're nearing the completion of the first module, which would be a hub. Which would be a hub to attach to all the other modules. You know, attach the other additional modules to it. We don't really know. As I say on Behind the Black, one must take all proclamations from China with a grain of salt. Their success of their space program says they could do this, and it could be they're trying to do this. But financial issues in China could hinder the possibility of them doing it.
Has it been occupied?
They've been occupying that space station now for 3 straight years. They just sent a new crew up and an old crew came back. And they do six-month missions just like we do on ISS.
You're right to identify this as mysterious. Money is not a problem for the state when it's showing off. It's very odd.
It may be, but you know, at a certain point, like in the Soviet Union, when the cash runs out and everything goes bankrupt, nothing happens. And so China, we don't know with China. We'll have to wait and see. It is an option, though, failure.
All right. We move on to Earthbound, University Space Research Association. What is that?
All right. There's a few of these. These are consortiums of universities. They're generally privately funded or government funded. And these consortiums do a bunch of things as service for the government, usually. In the case of USRA, they manage for NASA the Lunar Planetary Institute, among other things. The problem is that, like most government agencies, they went all in on diversity, equity, and inclusion policies, civil rights violating policies that discriminate on people based on things that have nothing to do with their talent. And faced with the Trump administration's aggressive effort to eliminate these bigoted programs, the USRA has announced that it has removed from public view all its DEI-related contact from its websites. It's very clear, though, in this announcement, they haven't deleted any of it. They're holding it in storage so that they can bring it back the second a new administration's in power and is all in favor of civil rights violations again. That's why I say they're scheming to continue these policies, because they, even though they're trying to make it seem like they're obeying the Trump administration's orders, they're setting it up in such a way that they can continue to violate those orders in the background under the table. And it's typical across the board. In a lot of cases, John, I think the real solution is just to cut the funding from these people. New people have to come along with a different attitude, because their attitude is clearly in favor of discrimination and treating people unfairly for the wrong reasons.
It reminds me of a story of, I think it's the King of England, once upon a time. He really favored plants that were native, that grew in Britain. And so he was keen on having them whenever he visited a particular residence of his. The problem was the gardeners weren't brave enough to tell him that if they put the plants out all the time, they'd die because the climate was not right for them. He loved them. But so when the king was there, they brought them out as if they'd always been there. And when he went away, they put them in storage and kept them in certain conditions. And back and forth for years, and the king never, whoever it was, I don't remember if it's a king or a duke, he never caught on the fact that they were rebuilding his garden each time he visited the residence. That's what you remind me of, Bob.
Yeah, and it's called, you know, the Emperor's New Clothes. It's really, we're dealing here with fantasy and fakery that is not good for the American public or our society, but it's very prevalent and it's got to end. And I think that's one of the reasons I wrote about this, because we've had enough of this. It's really bad for our society.
We're going to Mars. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.